Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Holla holla. What is up, everybody? It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. I sang it horribly, but you would recognize that jingle from my buddy Chris Lambert. Wrote that in 2007 for the Every Day is Saturday show. Used it for the intro and outro for the longest time, till about 4 years ago. I think we might have a new jingle coming. Chris and I were having a couple of Bud Light. Now they weren't, but I take that back. Labatt's. Chris came over. Local yokel here, Chris Lambert. I think he listens to the show. Shout out to Chris. Amazing songwriter. Like, I was interrogating this guy like a hostage on my show or on my porch a few weeks ago. It's just about the process of songwriting. Like, how do you write a song? I mean, that's intriguing to me. So Chris, I forget how we connected. Anyway, he sent me a text. Oh, his son goes to the same preschool my daughter goes to. That's what it was. So he was like, hey, how's Susan? My son goes to the same preschool. We're talking about teachers. And then I was like, hey, man, why don't you come over? It was, I think it was good. Was it Good Friday weekend? No, it was the weekend before Easter. So he comes over. I got a couple Labatt's blue lights on the porch. And I might have had a couple before Chris got there. Chris will probably tell you, yeah, definitely sounded like you had a couple, dude. So anyway, you know what I love? I love, there's two things. My buddy TJ Kennedy said this back in West Palm Beach in the spring of 1989. And it was right before I turned 21 years old. TJ Kennedy was a cop, and then he took the Series 7 exam to be a stockbroker. Right at the same time I took the Series 7 exam to be a stockbroker, TJ and I lived in different parts of West Palm Beach. TJ lived on South Ocean Boulevard on the ocean. I lived in the ghetto on the airport runway. And so when TJ and I met, we met because we were taking the test together, and the guy that was running the company we were going to eventually work for said, hey, I got a buddy of mine, TJ, he's a cop right now, but he's going down to Miami to sit for the Series 7 exam, just like you are. Why don't you connect with TJ and get a ride down there? I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me tell you something. The furthest south I had ever been from Bradford, PA, was State College, maybe. Now, I went to my sister's graduation from law school. She went to Georgetown Law School back in the mid-70s, so I guess I don't really remember much of that. But anyway, put it to you this way. I wasn't a traveler, okay? I wasn't a kid leaving high school with a backpack going through Europe, okay? I left high school, never owned a backpack unless you could attach a funnel to it and drink beer from it. So that was it. But anyway, I was going down to Miami. I'd never been to Miami in my life. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know where I'm at, you know? So TJ and I remember we took the Series 7 exam, and then we drove up to Fort Lauderdale, and I'm like, Lauderdale? Oh, my God, you hear so much about Lauderdale. Remember, I grew up in the 70s, so Fort Lauderdale was spring break capital of the world. And I graduated high school in 1986, so still, the only reference I knew about Lauderdale was party. So we go to this bar called the Elbow Room, and it was an outdoor bar. It had a bar. I'm trying to describe that I sound like a moron, but I guess it's too late for that. But you know the bar I'm talking about, right? It's an outdoor bar, but inside is the restaurant, but the bar is on the beach. And I'm looking out at the Atlantic Ocean thinking, how the hell did I get here? I'm a kid from Bradford, PA, drinking at the bar. Was I 21? No, I wasn't. I was 20 years old at the time. This wasn't the spring of 88. This was the fall. This wasn't the spring of 89, it was the fall of 88. I know you don't care, but I do, because I wasn't 21 yet, drinking beer in Lauderdale at the bar, which is always amazing, and watching the Miami-Florida State game, which had no bearing on my life because I grew up in Western PA. It was Pitt, Penn State, Notre Dame every now and again, but the real rivals were Pitt and Penn State back then. And so Florida State Miami was on. Oh my God. Like, you would have thought, I mean, everybody was glued to the TV. And I remember TJ turning to me and I said to him, man, this is the life. I don't even resonate with this. I've never seen the ocean before. I'd never seen the ocean prior to 1988. And so when I moved to West Palm, the first thing I did was drive to the ocean. I was like, wow. Wow. That is puts everything in my life, my shallow existence of 20 years on Earth, in perspective. Of course, you know, a Stroh's or a Milwaukee's best put everything in perspective to me as well. So I was kind of, you know, I wasn't really a deep person at the time. Some would argue I'm not now either. But at the time, I remember thinking, wow, man, the Atlantic Ocean. Holy crap. So TJ and I are sitting there. We just sat for the Series 7 exam for about 4 hours in Miami, Florida, drove up to Lauderdale. It was a Saturday afternoon. And it was just one of those magical moments. He turned to me and said, dude, there's two things in this world that'll never do you wrong. A cold beer and a faithful dog. I was like, wow. To me, I might as well have been sitting next to Nostradamus or Hemingway. You know, I mean, that was so deep at the time to me. I remember sitting there like someone hit me in the head with a ball peen hammer, just frozen, looking straight ahead at the ocean. A faithful dog and a cold beer. I go, man, I get what? Wow. I remember turning to TJ, wow, that is like the most profound thing I'd ever heard, you know, because prior to that, the most profound thing I ever heard was Jeff Spicoli saying something in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So again, got to frame everything. So TJ's like, yeah, dude, faithful dog. I go, I get that part. What about the cold beer though? I mean, what if it's like, you know, Meisterbrow or Milwaukee's Best or something like what I drink? He's like, dude, if it's cold, who cares? It still tastes good. It'll never do you wrong. Damn. Wow. So I remember TJ Kennedy telling me that, man, and way back in the day. And I think back to times like that, and I think, wow, that was 30 years ago, 31 years ago, that I was sitting just aimlessly, to use a metaphor about the ocean, just crashing against the rocks at sea, not even knowing where my life was going to take me, and not caring at all. Not caring because it's not that I didn't want to be successful. I just didn't care. Like, I was on such an adventure in my life. I had driven 23 hours with Pat, my buddy Pat from Bradford. And how did I get to go to West Palm Beach? Like, well, how did I make that decision? Months and months of just weighing the pros and cons. I'd love to tell you that. We were at 10 Cent Drink and Drown Night, 10 Cent Wings at the Option House in Bradford, PA. Every story revolves around me drinking a beer, by the way. And it was the summer of 88. Pat goes, what are you doing? You dropped out of Penn State. I'm like, yeah, man. He goes, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. And this was 2 in the morning. You know, we had about 75 wings apiece and drank, I don't know how many pitchers, quarter pitcher, 10 cent wings. And it was probably 2 in the morning. They're turning the lights on at the bar. And he says, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. What are you doing? He goes, well, I'm going to college in West Palm, my last 2 years of college. I forget the name of the car school. He was an automotive guy. Still is in the automotive industry. That automotive industry, that's one kid, Pat. He knew, I've known that kid since ninth grade. He knew immediately what he wanted to do the rest of his life. This kid was just, I've known him before ninth grade, but I went to school with him starting. I switched schools. I went to eighth grade Catholic school, St. Bernard's in Bradford, and then I switched over to public school. I've known Pat since I was a kid. He always wanted to work in the car industry. He's 50 years old working in the car industry. He's probably in the top 1% of people I've ever met that actually is doing what he wanted to do. This kid used to have birthday cakes with a Porsche car on it, drawn on it, hand-drawn on it. I mean, that's how freaked out he was as a kid. But he says, hey, what are you doing? I go, I don't know, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to the last 2 years of school in West Palm. You want to go? I'm like, sure. That was it. So I made a decision in August of 88 to go drive 23 hours from my hometown. So I told my mom I'm moving to Florida. I don't even remember her reaction, but I know it wasn't good. And she goes, what are you going to do down there? I don't know. I'm going to get a job. Doing what? I don't know. So, I don't know. It was an adventure to me. I never worried, though. And I guess I should have. Like, if my daughter Madeline's graduating high school this month. If she tells me, Dad, I'm moving to Florida with who? Friend of mine from high school? To do what? I don't know. I'll find something. I'm like, no, you're not. I'd just be like, no, you're not. But my mom, I was the youngest of 8 kids. I don't think it was. She also had a stroke that summer. She had spent 3 years in or 3 months, rather, of the summer of 88. At Great Lakes Rehabilitation Center in Erie, PA, an hour and a half away. She was not in good shape, mentally, physically, just wasn't. So I think she's just, and I was the youngest of 8, so she's like, dude, whatever you got, whatever itch you got to scratch, go scratch it, have a ball. So I went down there, worked at a pet store for one day until I figured out real quick I don't want to carry rabbits from the back of the store out of their cages to the front display and get eaten and bitten and clawed. It's like something out of a bad Hitchcock movie, man. Yep, not doing that. Quit after a day and then worked at Surrey's, which is a menswear store in a Palm Beach mall. Took public transportation every day from the ghetto on the airport runway to the mall and back. I was the guy to hit ding, ding, my stop, ding, ding. I got a really appreciation for people who come from, you know, poverty and that. So I just do, man. I don't got appreciation for people who stay there, who have the ability to do better. I got a real soft spot for people who have disabilities and they can't work and they need money. Take my money, man. I got a real problem with people that can go and earn a living, though, that are not going to do it. A real problem with that, because I grew up with a work ethic from my mom that she did whatever the hell she had to do, hitchhike to work at 20 below zero. So PJ was living on South Ocean Boulevard in the basement of a mansion owned by the ambassador to Denmark under the Nixon administration. So this guy used to be the ambassador to Denmark. Dudley was his name. Forget his name. Was his last name Dudley or his first name? His first name was Dudley. You can Google it. Who was the ambassador under the Nixon administration? And then he owned a mansion on South Ocean Boulevard, and he was only there a couple months a year. He lived in Nashville, and he would have TJ live there rent-free because TJ was a cop, and so TJ would park his cop car, West Palm Beach Police Department, in the driveway at night and sleep in the basement, which his basement was nicer than my house. And yeah, that was how we met. And imagine that, man. So we would have a lot of get-togethers. So it's like, huh, hey, TJ, you want to have a party at my apartment in the ghetto on the airport runway strip without any, you know, we're looking at a cement backyard. 50-50 chance the apartment get broken into, by the way, before then and get robbed. But anyway, or the mansion, which the front yard is the Atlantic Ocean and the backyard is the Intercoastal Waterway. Which one do you think we'd rather have people over, you know? So life's an adventure, man. And I look back at that and I think I'm never going to stop living an adventure. Never. I know I'm going to be 51. I was having this conversation with Sam Kaplan, who's our project manager, yesterday, because we do a call every Monday, update on our clients and where we are. And we always want to make sure we're staying on task, and which we are, man. Client, by the way, love to have you as a client. Would love to work with you. Go to launchwithsam.com. See if we're a good fit. Book a 30-minute call. Let's talk. All right. I want to see if you've got a why, an incredible why, that's going to pull you through whatever adversity. It doesn't matter. A death in the family, a bankruptcy, relationship, finance, health, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. You need a strong why to pull you through that. I want to hear what your why is. Like, why do you want to launch your movement? All the other stuff is figure outable, man. It's easy. Sam and I work together with you, and we get that baby up and running in 60 days. It's done. 60 days. Done. All right? Nobody else does that. Not one-on-one. No way. And hold you accountable to getting it done. Go to launchwithsam.com and book the call. I want to hear from you. All right? The only reason you wouldn't book that call is your dream isn't big enough right now. All right? And that's not an excuse, by the way. So when I was back in those days having those adventures, and I moved to Buffalo, New York, started another adventure, I never worried. I joked yesterday about being a bartender, and I latched on with the company was called the Berry Company, subsidiary of AT&T. I got that job in telephone sales because I interviewed great. I never worried about my resume. I had 20 college credits. Most of them were gym and health class. Didn't care. I knew if I can get in front of somebody, I could smile, play the part, because once I got my foot in the door, it was over, man. Game time on. I knew once I got in the door, I was going to emulate Michael J. Fox on The Secret of My Success. If you've never seen that movie, that and Wall Street, Bud Fox, I was a mix of the two. My favorite, one of my favorite movies, my movie list in no particular order, but it probably is The Verdict with Paul Newman. He got robbed from the Oscar that year to Ben Kingsley and Gandhi. But watch The Verdict with Paul Newman, A Few Good Men, Wall Street. I saw that movie in 1988. It shook me to my core. Not that I wanted greed. It's just like, damn, I want to be Bud Fox. Not for the greed. I just love the hustle. I love the hustle. In my 20s, remember, I was watching this at the age of 19, 20 years old, okay? And man, when I got in that job, I didn't care the base salary was $9,900 a year, which is what it was. Targeted earnings were $23,000 if you hit your sales quota. I didn't care. I was going to be Michael J. Fox. He started in the mailroom and worked his way up, kind of phonied his way up. But I was a phony, you know. I was this kid who put myself out there so much and was scared like hell when I laid my head down at the pillow at night. Like, I was just an imposter out there. Because whenever you go through growth, you always have a little bit of that imposter syndrome, you know, like, I'm not this person. What the hell are they thinking? Oh my God, what if I get exposed, you know? But then that goes away when you start having some success, and the imposter gets replaced with the real person who you grow into, you know, who the process forces you to be. It's really powerful. But the purpose of this message, never stop making life an adventure. Always experience new things. I'm not saying go travel or go taste sushi for the first time. I'm talking about real things. Like, get this movement off the ground so you can impact people's lives in a positive way, and always make it an adventure. I'm going on a road trip next week. I'm going to see my niece graduate from the University of Vermont, Burlington, Vermont, if you're in that area. Shout out to my New Englanders. Boy, that's a bad accent. Chowda. There you go. They hit enough stereotypes right there. I'll probably drive halfway, stay somewhere around in my hometown of Bradford, PA, somewhere in there. That's about 8 hours from Cincinnati, another 7 hours to Burlington, Vermont. But I'm taking a road trip. I've never been to Vermont. You know, I've never been to Vermont. I've never been to Maine. I've only been through Connecticut at the time. Never been to New Hampshire. I've been to Rhode Island once, so I've been to Providence back in 1993, somewhere near. Anyway, I'm never in New England, so I want to go up and I want to experience New England. Now, I'd rather experience New England in July or in the fall to see all the fall foliage, but I don't get to choose right now. I'm going to see my daughter, Claire, or my niece, Claire, graduate from the University of Vermont. We got another Crowley graduating from college, and I think that's freaking amazing, man. Freaking amazing. From our family tree, I want her to remember. I haven't seen Claire. I've seen Claire one time in the last 10 years. She was at my my 50th birthday party at my house last year. And she made the trip all the way from Vermont to Cincinnati. So you know what Uncle Sammy's doing? He's going to Vermont. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to look for Bernie Sanders. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Oh, God, socialism. Don't get me started. I love you guys. All my liberal friends, you know I love you, right? I would love to have a Guinness and debate politics with you. In a very amicable way, by the way. I know I'm not a yeller. I don't throw insults out there. You know, I'm a Christian conservative. Bernie Sanders, I would love to have a beer with that guy, man. That would be a hoot. I don't agree with anything he talks about, but that'd still be a hoot. Anyway, I'll be in Bernie Sanders country next week. Shout out to all my friends in New England. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Shout out to everybody in over 100 countries putting up with this podcast and being inspired by it at the same time. And go ahead and book your call, launchwithsam.com. I want to hear all about that dream you got working. And make today, tomorrow, and every day an adventure, man. Life's too short to be bored and just settle. Sure, you're going to have to do a few things you don't like, but that's not the lifestyle that you create. You make it an adventure. Act like you're 20 years old again, you know? Go out there and experience life and then build a movement around what it is you want to do, man. I'm telling you, it is so simple to do. Not easy. Now, I don't say it's easy, because then you're going to start all that judgment from people and all that crap comes your way from people and all that. What are you doing again? What's the motivational podcast you're listening to that got you started? What is it? I don't get it. Get a job, your 401k, your IRA, 529 saving, blah, 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 blah. Do that. Make safe. Don't get your hopes up. All that crap's coming your way. So just be prepared for that when you get going. All right? All right. Listen. I love the Everyday Saturday Nation. You guys are amazing. I can't wait to work with you. Hit me up, launchwithsam.com, and have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.